This is Polar Voices. I'm your host, Kelsey Gabrowski. Climate change research in the Arctic often involves parka-shrouded scientists traveling to remote areas to collect data on glaciers, snow, and sea ice. But instead of microscopes and experiments, University of Alaska ecologist Ken Tape turned to a different source of data, historical photos. Photos of geological field expeditions from the early 1900s, snapshots that didn't tie into his own life, weren't even taken by people in his field, but these photos captured the Arctic landscape from more than 100 years ago, and that's what he needed. While examining these photos, Tape wondered what those places might look like today. So he returned to where those photos had been taken decades ago and began recapturing the images.
I got started with repeat photography on a National Science Foundation project back in 1999. And that process of repeating old photographs and looking at the new photographs, comparing them, seeing what had changed, I found that pretty exciting. And so that project really came first. That was my master's work.
Tape tracked down photos taken by the United States Geological Survey at the turn of the 20th century. At that time, the USGS was busy mapping the geology of Alaska in the hopes of discovering gold.
These are remote, you know, expeditions, even by our standards.
But back then?
It was like going to the moon.
Tape says USGS surveyors went out for years at a time and snapped photos along the way. To capture what the surveyors saw, Tape had to retrace their steps by boat, by plane, and by foot.
Yeah, repeating the adventure was, you know, half the fun.
And in repeating the photos and the adventures, Tape discovered a record of Arctic greening, that is, of shrubs invading the north as it got warmer.
And suddenly, it became apparent that, yeah, the landscape was changing, vegetation was changing on a large scale. And the fact that the scale is that large, you see, it really limits the possible explanatory factors. Something changing on that scale over a relatively short time period, 50 years or so. I mean, I think that's the reason it became relatively obvious that climate was the driver.
But according to Tape's photos, greening wasn't happening everywhere.
There were these areas that weren't changing. And you would see those areas that weren't changing right next to the areas that were changing. And since those areas both have experienced the same changes in climate, it seemed like there was reason to believe that it was something inherent at these locations that was making them more vulnerable to change. And what we ended up being able to show is that a lot of the changes in vegetation are occurring along these riparian corridors, along streams, along gullies, along river floodplains, where you actually have a little bit of, you have bare substrate, you have bare soil exposed. Whereas areas sort of your ordinary out in the open tundra, with, you know, tussocks or grasses and sedges, those areas didn't appear to be changing as much. At least they weren't growing shrubs.
Tape is the first to admit there are limits to studying climate change with photographs. Even with all the satellite imagery we have today, we are still limited by the size of each pixel in a photograph. 10 feet, 100 feet, a mile. Any variability within a pixel is lost, particularly when you're comparing old snapshots to new.
There are certain things that you see when you're on the ground that you just don't see from up above, from a plane.
Sometimes, boots on the ground parse out the particulars of landscape scale change. Field observations backed up Tape's findings that shrubs invaded the bare soil along riverbanks. And although this may seem fairly minor, that one small change sparked more changes observed by people living in these remote areas. As Tape and his fellow researchers later discovered, that expansion of shrubland was soon followed by animals. Moose, in particular, were observed encroaching on areas where they've never been before, according to oral histories of indigenous societies.
Well, the only other time that we have a record that shrub expansion and moose expansion occurred in Alaska is when moose presumably came across the Bering Land Bridge a little more than 13,000 years ago.
That's the same time humans colonized Alaska. After his masters, Tape continued to monitor landscape changes through repeat photography. While sifting through old photos, he discovered that the images had more stories to tell.
I realized that by using repeat photography to examine other things that were changing in the Arctic, namely glaciers, but to some extent also permafrost, and you know there are other things you can look at as well, but by sort of expanding the scope of the repeat photography to glaciers and permafrost, I was able to pair that with vegetation, and that's when the idea for the book came together.
Inspired by the visual contrast of historical and modern photos, Tape wrote a book called The Changing Arctic Landscape. In it, Tape showcases startling imagery of the impact of climate change in the North. These changes are undetectable at a glance, but show up when placed side by side to historical photos.
You know, because you have to ask yourself, well, how do we measure time as human beings? I mean, other than a clock, how do you determine that time elapses? And I think the way we do that, in many ways, is by looking at what's changed. And we have this basic assumption that if nothing has changed, then probably time hasn't elapsed.
Although change is certainly happening across the Arctic landscape, Tape notes there is a sense of timelessness in the North. Some places seem to be frozen in time.
You can go back to the same place in the desert, and you've got the same little scrub that's been sitting there for 100 years or more, and it's practically the same size. Well, I find that pretty interesting. And so this whole concept of timelessness is what I was really trying to get at with the repeat photography, is how timeless a place is this? Is the Arctic changing as rapid as we think it is? Or has it retained some of its timeless qualities? And in the end, I think it's a little bit of both.
Repeat photography is just a part of the larger scientific effort to understand the dynamic environment of the North. Tape notes that, although the photos are visually captivating,
You can only do so much with them.
To the untrained eye, the photos are just snapshots taken out of context. To Tape, they represent the limits of what researchers can predict.
If scientists can't tell me what the new photo looks like, then we need to be out there repeating it so that we have enough repeat photos so that we can really know what changes have occurred.
Ken Tape is an ecologist at the Water and Environmental Research Center at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. To hear more from Ken Tape, or to listen to more episodes of this program, visit the Polar Voices page at thepolarhub.org. Polar Voices is produced by the UA Museum of the North in collaboration with the Arctic Institute of North America as part of the Polar Learning and Responding Climate Change Education Partnership.